much covers it, Slee. You were watching film. I was getting into whatever I was getting into. We don't even need to do a show today. Chris set it all up for us. How are you feeling?
Good. You know, it's really focused on January 4th game versus New Orleans.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
I remember.
I just thought there were plenty of plays there that could have changed the outcome of the season. So tonight I'll do January 6th game. We'll just keep kind of going. We'll just keep going through the season.
Yeah, why not, right? I mean, you can go through and you can just relitigate every single Laker game. We go through everything about what went wrong, what went right, and everything else. We got a million things to get to today. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all the guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Other than your Laker tape, how was your weekend, Slee?
Nice weekend, you know, kind of
slow for you, I bet.
Well, kind of chance to kind of recharge the battery a little bit. I'll be honest with you. Saturday was nice. Just kind of kicked back. My girlfriend had a work event. Not even really a work event, but like a work dinner at somebody's house. Let me just say this. This dude knew so much about whiskey. Are you a big whiskey guy?
I like it. I don't know much about it, but I do like it.
It's like, this bottle's a Japanese whiskey, and it's aged properly this. I'm like, I don't know what is going on, but I will go ahead and happily try that. So did some whiskey tasting on Saturday. How about you?
Okay,
so you had a three-day weekend here.
I did. Yeah. I had a nice, long three-day weekend. It was great. Hold on. We'll get to me in a second. I have follow-up questions about your weekend before we get into the other stuff. When you said you went to your girlfriend's work dinner sort of deal, are you the guy that when you go to one of those work functions with your significant other that you kind of stick by her and you kind of let her introduce you and go around, or are you the guy that kind of wanders off by yourself and kind of starts just kind of owning the place on your own?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, let me just say this. It took everything I have to agree to this thing. Okay, I don't know how you are, but like, just listen. I mean, here we are coming off the season, right? So I'm like, you know, there's something about not having anything to do. And Bucks are about to play Miami, and this is going to be, you know, game one there. So I'm like, hey, this is perfect. I get to kick back, just watch a little Bucks Miami, and we're all good. And she kind of casually throws in, I know, but we have this thing, and I'm bringing the dog too, and yeah, all that kind of starts piling up. Brought the dog too. But I think it was like invitation was, hey, bring the dog. So
yeah, you can bring the dog, and if Slee wants to come, he can come too.
Let me tell you,
but make sure the dog comes.
The dog was the focal point. Like, I literally was just in the way. I was just like, hey, that's nice, Alan. That's good to hear about your life and everything. So how old is the dog? That's all anybody cared about.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, once I got there, I'm okay. I'm good. Like, if she's going to go do her thing, go do your thing. I'm fine. And for the most part, like, there were easily times where maybe even a half hour would go by and I'd be like, how's it going? Everything going good? You good? Because I'm good over here. I'm just whiskey tasting.
We got the guy with the Japanese whiskey. You're in a pretty good spot right there.
Just whiskey tasting and going in for my third serving of food while people are looking at me kind of weird.
Nice. See, we have this conversation on the way to everything that we ever go to, including, unless it's somebody that I know really well that I've been around literally dozens of times.
Yep.
We'll have the following. Hey, listen. You can't just ditch me at this thing. Because here's what happens. We go through the front door, and it's, and
she's gone.
The races. And I'm just standing there like, I don't even remember anybody's name here, and you're leaving me hanging. And she'll be on the ride home. I'm like, hey, you did it again. Yeah, but I saw you talking with Bob. I'm like, which one was that? The guy in the blue shirt. Yeah, that would have been nice to know his name because I had to sit there and talk with him for 10 minutes.
Do me a favor. Next time you're in a position like that, just tell her. Just say, listen, this is what's going to happen if you put me in this spot. I'm posting up on the couch. I'm turning the TV on. I'm cracking open a beer. I'm going to pretend like it's my own living room. I'm just going to watch the Dodger game tonight.
That's a pretty good idea. We had to go to an event last night for my son, and it was a team function, right? One of those things where everybody gives speeches. It was nice. It was fine. But it was long. It was like 3 hours long. So the thing ends. Good night, everybody. And I literally stand up and grab her by the elbow and say, hey, come on, let's go. Let's go. And it was like I was tearing off one of her legs. She couldn't leave. It's anathema to her existence to leave a party before everyone. I mean, we've been in other places where people are literally, the vacuum is out. They're doing dishes. It's like, it's time to go home. They don't want
us. We should help them clean.
No, it's a party. That's why I go to parties, so I don't have to clean. It is absolutely miserable.
I could hear her saying, you know what, let's just hang around for a little
bit. Fine.
I'm going to do the dishes. You go help them with the laundry. With the what?
Susan, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. It's time to go home. They don't want to. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's never fine. Always be the first one to leave. Never be the last one to leave. That's a good rule of thumb. All right, so the weekend is in the rearview mirror. The Lakers get eliminated on Thursday. I know you guys had a whole bunch of things to get into on Friday, you and Clinton.
Yeah.
Does it feel any different? Are we in a better spot? Because the more I think about it, the more confused I am about what it is that I just saw, not only this season, but this playoffs with Anthony Davis, with LeBron James's age and health. There are so many things up in the air with this team, and just one single weekend hasn't really cleared it up too much for me. I'm still very confused about where we are with this team.
Well, also, too, Trav, it's like you're looking at the rest of the NBA. There's a number of teams that can win it. And I know Brooklyn's going to be the favorite, but James Harden left 1 minute into the game in game one, right? So that will kind of should level the playing field a little bit. And we'll see when Harden comes back and everything else. So I actually walked away more disappointed after the weekend. Like, the weekend went by, and in my head, I was like, damn, we still would have had a legitimate chance to at least come out of the Western Conference and go up against any other team. So I think as the dust is continuing to settle, you know and you understood that this just there was no point this season where you felt like, hey, the Lakers are in a great spot. They're in a great position. Like, you never really had that feeling. So I think ultimately the outcome of the way it ended made sense, but that doesn't mean that you've kind of fully accepted it. That's kind of the reality of where the Lakers are. It was a up and down season the entire way. You know, actually, Trev, this is an interesting conversation because you and I were going to talk about this. This was maybe 2 weeks ago, about how the worst thing is happening to the NBA. The Lakers are proving that the regular season doesn't matter. Remember we were kind of getting into, here are the Lakers, a seventh seed, right? They're just going to walk into the playoffs and do whatever the hell they want. It's kind of interesting. Now you look back at this, and I don't think the Lakers... I'm not saying they didn't care about the regular season, but it wasn't the priority because of health. I think next season, you kind of start falling back into the lines of, no, let's get good seeding. Let's try to get home court. Let's try to play worse teams early on. So I think the whole strategy is going to be different next year. And, you know,
yeah,
of course, the foundation will be health.
I think you saw that flow matters, right? That you need to have some sort of familiarity with the other guys on the team, because they didn't. Those pieces... Again, Anthony Davis and LeBron James are the great eraser. If those two pieces are working, then whatever else is happening, I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but it's far less important, right? That if those two guys are clicking, whether or not Alex Caruso is finding a shot, whether or not Kuzma can do this or KCP can do that or Andre, who cares, right? If those two pieces are working, we're going to win the game. But when those two pieces are not working, and especially when you have to rely on these other guys at a much different level than you typically do, I think you're right. And the only way you can do that is by playing, is by having a bunch of games together. Because, you know, we know once the NBA season starts, there's not a ton of time to practice. There just isn't. The schedule is compacted. They're travel, all those things. There's not a ton,
especially
of
under
practice
this COVID environment.
Right. That makes it even worse. But, you know, I heard some things over the weekend like, oh, you know, all they need to do is get healthy. All they need to do is make sure that LeBron James's ankle is fully here and let's run it back. All they need to do is make sure that Anthony Davis's groin and calf and shoulder and whatever else is giving him a hard time is fully healed and he'll run it back. And then all the complementary pieces don't matter nearly as much. I don't buy it. I don't buy that for a second. And I get it. AD and LeBron are an incredible starting point, but you look around the rest of this league, some of these other teams are really good, and they might not have a top-line two guys like that, but the three through whatever is much better than the Lakers. And that's the part to me that you're going to have your two stars. It's what else do you have on that roster? What else do you get going? That's the number one spot. Do we have a third guy that if one of our first two guys can not go, that he's ready to step in and make something happen? Because they clearly didn't have that.
I'll throw something out there because I think this is an interesting question. I think Laker fans can give us their opinion on it too. If the Lakers kind of rolled the ball back with the same team, right? If they came in and – because you heard this a lot in these exit interviews, that we felt like we had a championship team, we just were not healthy, right? So if the Lakers came back with pretty much the exact same pieces – Are you comfortable with them competing with or for a championship with that team? And I'll throw that out, 877-710-ESPN. Or do you want to see some significant changes here, obviously outside of LeBron and AD?
I want to jump in there right there because I don't.
Well, you got to call in. You got to call in. Okay, you can't just
hold on. Let me pick up my phone. I don't for the most obvious reasons. Number one, I don't like being right about this, but I was right about this. This is the beginning of the worst Laker movie you've ever seen. What we just witnessed is the opening scenes of a nightmare Laker scenario, which is LeBron is old and hurt. And all of a sudden goes from being LeBron James, we all know what that means, to being, yeah, he's pretty good, but, you know, it's not what it used to be. Anthony Davis is injury prone, full stop, period. That's just a fact. He gets hurt a lot. He misses games a lot. I like that he went out there and tried to play, but he clearly wasn't able to do it. This is the beginning. You've traded away all of your picks. This is the beginning of, uh-oh. Because what if LeBron is never quite the same again? I don't think that's likely, but it's not crazy. What if Anthony Davis is exactly what we've seen so far? Transcendent when he's right, but he's not right nearly enough. What if this supporting cast, and maybe it's not these same guys, but it's the same guys, right? A different version of these guys coming back who, look, as long as our first two guys are extraordinary, we're fine. This is the beginning of a really scary movie.
Well, I'm not – if I'm going to answer my own question, I would say this. I'm not comfortable with them coming back with the same team. I'm not because, you know, I think we could – there's a lot of ifs that we can throw out there, and this is part of sports, right? You're right. LeBron James next season will be in his 19th season. Count the playoff games. That's 22 seasons in the NBA. Anthony Davis, he is injury prone. He is injury prone. Now, he's also somebody that helped – and was healthy enough to help win the Lakers a championship back in, you know, obviously in that Orlando bubble. I'll say this. I think if there's one thing that the Lakers need more than anything at the moment is LeBron and AD need a full offseason. I think the front office needs a full offseason. I think everybody needs a full offseason. They're going to get it. They're about to get it. But, Trav, what's the difference between last season and this season? Last year, the Lakers, we all kind of knew that that's the team to beat. This year, there are a lot of teams that were chasing the Lakers, right? So teams got better in the West. Brooklyn, when the season started, added James Harden to freaking KD and Kyrie. I don't think you could come back with the same squad. I don't. I think you do have to get better. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Did you ever feel comfortable after LeBron and Anthony Davis about the rest of the roster? Did you ever feel like, oh, no, this is the right mix? No. I know exactly who the third best player on this team is. And you know what? He's not that far off from some of the other guys, you know, you could say from LeBron AD. I never felt that with this team.
I don't think anybody did. I think we kind of lied to ourselves at various different points in the season. I think we kind of told ourselves the Dennis Schroeder lie for a period of time. Like, you know what? He can be that guy. Obviously not. You know, Andre Drummond, we got him in the buyout market, and he can be that guy. And Andre Drummond's a nice player, but he ain't that. Right, he's not Anthony Davis to where, and again, it's not a criticism of Drummond to say he's not Anthony Davis. No one really is. They, you know, he's on the short list of best players in the league. But all of those guys that you saw step, and you know, we'll get into this a little bit more detailed as we move through it. But watching that Clipper game yesterday, watching Marcus Morris just channel Steph Curry for a night, make 7 to 9 threes. The Lakers never had that guy who said, all right, I'll make some big shots. It wasn't Paul George. It wasn't Kawhi Leonard. It was Marcus Morris making shots, and he was as much a reason they won that game as anyone else. The Lakers never had that guy step up like that.
But this is why I'm going to go into this. I don't think this is a bad thing because I think you got a realization of that during the season. I think you also got a realization during the postseason that you can't just – if you're just depending on just these two players, if anything happens, your season is over. I think you could also kind of watch these playoffs and see, okay, what players are playing well, what teams are playing well. Like, I think they're going to get a chance to see what they need to see and get the rest that I think every single player on this roster, especially LeBron and AD, specifically needed. So it's a disappointing season, but I don't think by any stretch, Trav, the Lakers can't put themselves in a good position to be right back there next year.
That's the question. How open is that championship window next year and moving forward, especially with LeBron's age, especially with AD's injury history? How open is it? We'll get into that. Plus your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. It's Travis and Slee.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
710 ESPN. So I'm assuming, Slee,
yeah,
that now that the Lakers are out of the playoffs, you move your bedroll out of that back studio and you just live a more normal existence at this point. You're not burning it on both ends.
Trev, listen, man, just worry about you, okay?
I'm worried
about
you.
You should not be. You know, it's actually funny. So tonight, you know, tonight's the only night. Mondays, I got Lakers talk.
Oh, yeah.
So Mondays will be the only night where we got these double headers, and then after that, you and I are shooting the you-know-what, talking some sports every morning.
There you go. It's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Here's the Straight Talk, Slee. I don't know how open this championship window is as you look at it right now. And that doesn't mean that you can't knock it open a little bit more with your acquisitions during this offseason with some free agency things, but as you look at it, let's just say what it is. You've got an aging LeBron James who, for the very first time in his career, was hurt and looked like it. Right? I'm not talking little bumps and bruises and things that you can't muscle through. Because
he had a legitimate injury.
Yeah, and it kept him out for a lot of games. And when he came back, he had to immediately shut it down again. And then when he came back the second time, he looked okay, but he didn't look like the best version of himself.
Put it this way on that injury. Let's say that injury happened in January.
Mm-hmm.
We would not have seen him for probably 2.5 months. Like they would have let it heal. And they brought him back not because he was 100% healthy, but playoffs were about to start. There was no other reason why they brought him back.
Yeah. So put that into the mix.
Yep.
Put into the mix that Anthony Davis, and I don't think this is the least bit unfair, you can't count on him. Not that he's not a great player. Not that he's not your most important player, because right now he is more important than LeBron James because of age, because of what he can bring to it. LeBron is still the quote-unquote best player on the team, but I don't think he's the most important player. And you can't count on AD because of his health.
You can't count on him. I think you can't count on him.
You just can't.
I think you can, Trav. I think you can. Because, listen, there are other players that, you know, are getting injured. It's not like Anthony Davis is the only player in the NBA that's getting injured. Now, it's highlighted more because he's a superstar, number one, and number two, he plays for the Lakers. But I'll tell you why you can't count on him. You can count on him because 8 months ago you counted on him, and he won you an NBA championship with LeBron. So I get what you're saying. I know there's a cautious approach with Anthony Davis. I'm not telling you that this offseason maybe there's things AD can do. Maybe it's got to hit the weight room and it's 10 or 15 more pounds of additional muscle. Maybe it's something on the lower body that he's got to do. I'm not saying that there aren't things that he can't do, but I think you can count on him because he's done it. You can. By the way, if you can't count on him, you just signed him to a 5-year contract. I mean, you got to be able to count on him.
You had no choice but to sign him to that deal, and I think it's the right thing to do. He's that good of a player. You have to do it. My criticism isn't of doing the deal, but it's let's go back. When you say he's done it, he has. They won the championship last year in large part because he was there. But let's talk about the circumstances in that championship. This was not a start the season at the end of October, play through the middle of April, start the playoffs, go through it, win a championship. We know that it was the weirdest season in the history of professional sports.
No question about it. Yep.
But what did happen, and I think in retrospect, it's probably a pretty nice little blessing for Anthony Davis and the Lakers, he got to not play for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever little bumps and bruises and nicks and injuries that he had, and really everybody else had, he was able to get right and get healthy. That's not going to, you know, knocking on wood right now. Hopefully that never happens again, where we have to shut it down for a period of time. But that part of it to me matters because it wasn't just when it's a traditional season.
Sure,
you can almost set your watch by he's going to miss some time. That's just how it goes for him.
So this is my only problem with that argument. We can't use that argument and say, but look, he had some time off before the, because it goes against, it goes against the point of saying that, well, Anthony Davis did help the Lakers, did come through, you can rely on him.
I mean, he was a huge part of it, but it was such an outlier. It was such an, just, I'm talking purely schedule. I'm not saying it's an illegit, none of that stuff.
Because can't I come back around and say, well, this season was also not the same thing. You only had 70 days of an off season. You know what I'm saying? Like, can I also make an argument about this season wasn't normal as well? Circumstances were a lot different. I hate to take that part away from Anthony Davis because it helps the argument on one side, but then we also got to use it on the other side and say, can we look at what the Lakers just accomplished, or not even accomplished, what they had to go through this year because their window was so much shorter, it hurt the Lakers.
Yeah, I hear you, and you're not wrong, but here's the thing. This season was far more traditional than any other season that we've seen, or than last season, right? What I'm talking about is season starts, we play it through, season ends. That break in the middle of last season, I think, was very beneficial to Anthony Davis. And the other thing that you said, and I want to take some of these phone calls coming up here in just a sec.
Wasn't it also beneficial to every other player in the league?
For sure. But he's better than the other players in the league. And the one thing that is his, I don't know, I almost said Achilles, but I don't even mean that like euphemistically, he can't stay on the court. So if you take a break for 2 months in the middle of the season, that's more beneficial to him than it would be to say somebody like LeBron James or Luka Doncic or any of these other guys that are great players, but they go out and play every night. He doesn't do that. So the ability for him to be healthier because they had this weird layoff,
it worked to his benefit, and
to the Lakers' benefit more than anybody else.
Did not work to the Lakers' benefit.
No, because the short offseason and the grind of the schedule is all of those things were the exact opposite of that. Here's the other. How many times have you said, me said, and all the Laker fans said, LeBron James spends $1 million a year on his body, right? And that's just kind of understood. And LeBron James played 18 seasons, been hurt once. Money well spent. Is AD in that kind of shape? Is AD in the – not that he's out of shape. He's not Oliver Miller running up and down the court.
Sure.
But is he making that commitment to make sure that his body
I'm more like Oliver Miller. And for those who don't know who Oliver Miller is, go Google image Oliver Miller, and you'll know what Travis and I are talking about. Local YMCA.
Oliver Miller was not the second coming of LeBron James. Let's just put it that way as far as physique goes. Let's try our first phone call of the day. Let's go to Newport Beach and Tony. Tony, you're up with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, how are you, Travis?
Good.
Hey, Travis. Oh, my goodness. I was at the last Laker game. We need a total overhaul. I agree with you. Marc Gasol can't switch on defense. He's too slow. We bought him in to stretch the defense. It's not working. He barely makes his threes. But the main guy, Schroeder, he turned down an $84 million contract. Now he wants to come back because he knows nobody else is going to give him that kind of money. I wanted to get your take. Would you bring Lonzo back at 20 a year?
No. What else you got?
Another thing. Last thing. You are absolutely right. We sat near the tunnel, and that last Kuzma play, when he threw it up in the air, after he received the ball from LeBron just wanted to sub out. I think it was frustration more than anything. I don't want to say he quit. I just think he knew the writing was on the wall with this cast that he had. They were not making any shots. Dennis Schroeder needs to get in the weight room, get some weight, because if you look at his shots, they all look like he's pushing the ball.
Yeah, there's some stuff going on in there. I appreciate the phone call, Tony. Thank you. I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to give Slee and I a chance to respond to this. Dennis Schroeder's skinny. He's always going to be skinny. He's not going to come back looking like, a tank. That's just how he's built. Marc Gasol's not the reason that they didn't win an NBA championship, that he didn't make threes, that he's a little bit long in the tooth at this point. That's not what it's about. It's about LeBron. It's about AD. And it's about the supporting cast collectively, in my estimation, Slee.
And I think, Tony, what he mentioned right there was, he does think they need an overhaul. As in those role players that we're talking about, he's not that comfortable rolling the ball back out. Can I say this, Trav? And I'm going to always, emphasize this. I was a fan of the moves the Lakers made in the offseason. I was complimenting what Pelinka did. Now, it's kind of unfortunate because are we really truly going to know what that team could have done when Anthony Davis didn't play for 2.5 games and then they lost 3 games in a row against the Suns? We're really not going to, right? Like, how are we really going to know in a deep playoff run what all those players would have been with Anthony Davis there? Same thing if in the bubble, if Anthony Davis got injured in the bubble, we would have been looking at all the role players saying, yeah, these are not the guys. But one of the things last year, and I think this has to be more of an approach this upcoming season, we got younger this offseason, and I think we got more talented. But I don't necessarily think that gave the Lakers a good chance to win the a better chance to win a championship. I almost want to go back to what we did last season where you had a ton of veterans. Guys have been in the league for a long time. Championship experience. Kind of can go through the ups and downs of a season. I think we need more of that this upcoming year. And the talent still needs to be there, but I think that we lost some incredible experience that I think you could tell started weighing on the Lakers as the season progressed.
Yeah, there needs to be a plan B, right? The plan B doesn't need to be, okay, if Anthony Davis misses.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
40 games, what do? That's not what I'm talking about. If he misses 40 games, then you're cooked, right? That's just that goes for almost anybody in this league if you lose one of your best players. What I'm talking about is who can grab us a game here and there? Who can be that guy occasionally? That's what the Lakers really have not had. That's the part to me, Slee, that is concerning.
Pre-game, Trev.
Yeah?
We're pre-game for Max.
It's fine. I'll take that. I'll take pregame for Max as opposed to postgame in the middle of the night. That's fine. This is better.
This is the funny part is, I think I mentioned this to you like 2 weeks ago. I had Max on. I'm like, Max, well, I hear your promo saying that Mason Island are the postgame show for your show. So then are we the pre? He's like, yeah, if you guys can preview what I'm going to be talking about and then Mason Island could react to what I said.
Perfect.
I'm like, absolutely, Max. Just let us know. Let us know.
All right. So you know that participation is key on this show, right? So we're going to take some phone calls coming up in a minute. And this isn't me calling out our listeners, but I'm going to need a few more ass sleeves. I have enough and I have some good ones, but I'd like a few more. I'd always rather have a few extra in my back pocket than not have enough. So hashtag Ask Slee. You can send them to Al at Alan Slee. We can send them to me at Travis Rogers. That's coming up in about 10 minutes from right now. But right now we're talking about the Lakers and what they need to do and what they've gotten right and what isn't right and what they – and I'll be honest, the window, right? That's how we look at these things now,
yeah.
Slee. The window, to me, has one of those sticks on it, you know, that pins the window in the frame, and you can only open it about 2 inches at the bottom to get a little breeze, but you want to keep the bad guys out, so you have the stick in the top. That's kind of what it feels like. It's open, but I don't know if it's open enough for like somebody, me sized to slide through that little opening at the bottom. That's
what
I'm worried
about. You know what it is for me? It's a screen door. We have the screen door wide open. Beautiful summer day. Breeze is coming in. You know, Chav, I was looking at this, and I think this is going to have to be. I get the whole spread the wealth with the role players, right? You try to get like 3, 4, 5 guys, whatever the case is. You know, I think they got to do this upcoming offseason. I'm not saying this is going to be an easy route or anything like that, but I don't think it's unrealistic, too. Let's use a guy like Dennis Schroeder. The idea was you get somebody that is at the right age that can be on this team for a few years. That was kind of the concept and the idea. In my opinion, you got to throw all that stuff out. I don't think you could really stop thinking 2, 3 years down the road. You just can't right now because the window you're talking about, every single day that goes by, it does get closer to be shut. So I think if there's ever a time that all those chips got to go to the center of the table, it's this upcoming year. Because I don't know what happens after this season, but I'll throw a couple names of some unrestricted free agents this upcoming summer. Okay?
Okay.
Lakers were obviously trying to go after. They were trying to make a run at Kyle Lowry, right?
Sure.
A player like that who's further down in his career, but he's got a ton of playoff experience, but he's not the all-star that he was 2, 3 years ago. DeMar DeRozan is another one of those players. I don't know how much money these guys are going to demand, but that's a true third star, but it's not on the level of LeBron and Anthony Davis. I think they need somebody like that because I don't know how much you could depend, like you mentioned, on an 82-game grind for somebody like Anthony Davis. They got to go get a vet. I don't think the Lakers need a Lonzo Ball, a 25-year-old. No. They need a vet who's been there, who's done it, playoff experience, in my opinion.
I think that's a part of it, but I'm going to put a really fine point on this. Their window is as open as LeBron James's window is. If LeBron's window is getting narrower, then so is the Lakers, because it will go as LeBron goes. Anthony Davis has proven he can't do it alone. He can do it with another great player, right? And that's not a great criticism of Anthony Davis. That's a fact. Very, very few guys can just take some dudes and go get it done. LeBron happens to be one of those guys. But if he's one of those guys that was one of those guys and sure. not is one of those guys, then we're having a totally different conversation. Because if LeBron is your complimentary piece as opposed to your number one piece, I don't know.
That's why you got to stack. That's the point, Trav. That's why you got to kind of stack the table here.
Well, that's right. Because
you're right.
We've never asked this before. It's always been assumed LeBron was going to come back and look like he was in the past, even as he got older, even as, what did you say, 23 seasons in the league, if you count playoff time. He still was showing up and was still that guy over and over and over again. For the first time ever, I think it's a fair question.
What you can't have this upcoming year is you're depending on LeBron James to do everything like you've depended on LeBron
right.
James to do everything. So it's one thing. If LeBron's got some true players around him, what I'm talking about there is maybe a vet like I'm talking about and some actual shooters, he's going to get 12 dimes a game. He's not going to have to do everything on the offensive end. The problem is the Lakers depended on LeBron to do everything again this year. He's got to get to the paint. How many times were we complaining, well, he's not getting to the basket enough? Well, the dude is
right.
basically limping on one yeah. foot. What do you want him to do? You can't have a season where everything's still on his shoulders.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Let's try another call here. Let's go out to Riverside. And Don, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to make a couple points. So no one's talking about the first year LeBron was in here when he pulled his groin. So that's 1 year. The second year, like you said, Travis, they got a break in there. So I think that helped him. And then this third year, he's hurt again. And then now you got Davis. I think we're in trouble. I think we're locked up with some money. I think that one championship is going to cost us probably about 4 or 5 years. That's what I think.
Don, appreciate you calling in. But this is what kills me, Travis. We cannot casually just say, well, last season Lakers caught breaks. They won the championship. I mean,
for sure.
you know who else caught breaks? Toronto caught breaks when Golden State was injured, okay? I don't know how this season's going to play out, but let's just say James Harden can't go and another team other than Brooklyn won. That team will have caught breaks. Breaks are part of it. By the way, the Lakers, I'm not saying Miami was going to beat the Lakers, right? Bam Adebayo was out, in and out of the lineup. Goran Dragic was in and out of the lineup. This happens in sports. Lakers, if you remember back in the Lakers-Celtics days in the run that the Lakers had with Kobe and Powell, Bynum wasn't healthy. Ariza wasn't healthy. Then Kendrick Perkins couldn't go in Game 7. These happen.
They do, but I think that they're different lanes on the same road, right? That you to win a championship, you got to get a couple of things bounce your way.
Sure.
Right? You got to have a couple of good breaks along the way, and the Lakers did last year, and they took advantage of it, and they won a championship, just like Toronto did, as you mentioned, just like if somebody beats Brooklyn this year, they'll have got a good break. That's one lane on the highway. The lane right next to it, though, is that what happens with our guys, regardless of breaks? Are they able to overcome bad breaks? Are we in a position where we have to catch a break to go win this thing? And I think
sure.
that's where the Lakers find themselves right now, that are we just good enough because we're good enough, or do we need to cross our fingers and hope that really for the first time Anthony Davis can get through a whole season without getting hurt? Do you cross your fingers and hope that LeBron James going down for the second time in the last 3 years? And that groin injury a couple of years ago, I kind of chalked that up into a different category. I think had the Lakers been in the mix, he probably goes and we'll see something a little bit different. But these aren't necessarily just bad breaks. This is the reality of where you are right now and how do you address it?
I kind of find myself, and I think the rest of the playoffs are going to be intriguing, and we're going to get into, we got a lot of part of this Clippers conversation that we're going to get into. We're going to do that after Ask Slee. But there's a intriguing factor to the rest of the playoffs, and I think this is going to benefit the Lakers of getting a real offseason to obviously seeing what other teams and what other players do. And do I think they got to get better in the offseason? I do. I really actually do. I think that ultimately, if you come back with the same team, I think you kind of put yourself in a tough spot. But let me just say this, Trav. If AD was healthy, let's just say he was healthy, you think they come out of the Western Conference?
Yes, I do. But
yeah, I do too.
The question is the problem. Because the question of is AD healthy, no one knows. And anybody says, oh, he's going to be fine moving forward, you don't know. Nobody knows that.
But you don't know about any of the players.
Yes and no. You know that a guy like LeBron James was going to come back and be really healthy. That's why it was so extraordinary that he wasn't. You know that a guy like Steph Curry is going to come back and play. You know that James Harden, he's a bad example, but there are other guys that come back and that their injury history is not in their first line of their wiki page, right? If we're talking about Anthony Davis, the opening line is Anthony Davis is one of the best players
I'm not worried about it.
Who has trouble staying on the floor.
I'm not worried about it.
Why?
Really not.
He's
I'm
never not really been the guy that stayed on the floor.
Because
how many more games has he asked to miss?
Let me tell you. I'll tell you why. Because that doesn't mean that he doesn't got to figure out stuff in the offseason. If there's, you know, you were given the example of LeBron spending $1 million on his body, whatever the case is. I'm not saying the dude doesn't have to address it. But what I'm saying is anything can happen in the league with any of these players. There was a time where KD was – he's playing every single game. There was a time where Klay Thompson was playing every single game. Injuries happen. So for us to –
But those guys, Slee, weren't constantly missing games throughout their entire career. Anthony Davis has.
I think there is a perception. I went back and looked at this. Don't count last year's bubble because that was such an awkward season. Don't count this year because this year was such an awkward season. He was still playing 80% of the games of the regular season. So I don't know, and this is in his past with the Pelicans. He had some games where he was playing when I say significantly less, I'm saying like in the 60 numbers, and then other games where he was around 75. I think we've also, and I'm not saying the perception is wrong, but I think it can get blown out of proportion a little bit.
What a better way to start the week than with Ask Slee. That's coming up next. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Just want to throw it out there, Slee, that you forgot to mention Ask Slee in your preview of the show. Your preview of the show comes out about 8:30 most mornings,
yep.
And you never put Ask Slee in there. What's up with that?
So there's certain moves I make strategically, and okay. I know that you're going to spend – here's the thing. When you promote the show and it's a day that we do Ask Slee, you don't even promote anything. There's nothing even on
about.
There. It's the only thing you care about. So I'm like, maybe I'll throw in a little bit of content because I know Travis is going to have no content. He's just going to throw in Astley.
Absolutely. All right. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Here we go, Slee. This is from Dar, but it says, you're headed to a graduation party. What are you giving the graduate? Cash, writing a check, gift card, asking for a Venmo account, or giving an actual gift? Hashtag Ask Slee. What's the go-to graduation present?
This is a cop-out here. I should come up with something more creative, but probably cash. Probably
cash. No,
that's
a great answer.
Is it?
Has anybody ever received an envelope full of cash and gone, oh, thanks?
But think about it.
You're like, yeah!
Like, here you are. It's a graduation. You know, maybe you give it some time. You sit back and you say, what kind of book can I give them that is going to help them in their life? Instead, I'm giving them, like, hey, just go to Amazon, like, whatever you need.
You don't give, like, any, whatever. Like, worldly advice for the next, you know, for the next college, for the next level of their life or something.
That's what we should be doing.
I think it depends on what we're graduating from. Like, for instance, my daughter, as we all know, just graduated from high school, and that's
there we
some
go.
Cash. That's maybe, like, a sweatshirt of wherever it is you're going to school. So, something like that, right?
Yeah.
But college graduate, I'll never forget my college graduation. We had this nice party. My mom and dad were there, my brother, my grandparents. It was very, very nice. And so we go back and we're opening some gifts. And all it was a briefcase. It was a gift certificate to go buy suits. It was all of these things like, well, this all sucks. You know, these are just things that I don't want to have to go do it. This is all real life. I think, and this is a long time ago, so yeah. I know you wouldn't do it. But you know what I got as a gift? An alarm clock, for God's sakes. I get it. My life is over. All of the good stuff is in the rearview mirror. Oh, I don't need suits and alarm clocks at this point.
I remember, and this happens every Christmas, you know, whatever I get from, like, my mom and my family, it's all the same stuff. It's like another tie I'm not going to wear, okay? Another shirt that's way too big. And I'm like, guys, I get it. Macy's had an awesome sale, but I'm good. I don't need that stuff. I'm not 17 anymore.
All right, here's the next one. This is from Drew in West L.A. And Drew writes, my lady watches a lot of British TV and is now starting to talk with a British accent. How should I approach this situation? Hashtag Ask Slee.
Jump right in. Work on your British accent. Make it a thing where it becomes so annoying that then she stops doing it. Like, you could kill this thing.
I like that. I like turning the defense into offense. That's strong.
Yeah,
you start calling her love. Like, when you pass the margarine, love. Some stuff like that.
I'm telling you, you do that for a solid 5 minutes, 10 minutes at most. She's like, this is the stupidest shtick we've ever done, and I'm done doing it.
Care for a stroll, love? You'd like a biscuit with that tea, love?
She will second guess everything. By the way, that's not bad.
Really good accent.
Good, Trav. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I'm pretty great at voices.
Can you do a British messy voice?
Hey, would you care for a spot of tea, love?
That sounds like David Beckham.
Why do they call everybody love? I never quite understood that. Anyway, that's a good question. Here's another one. How does Slee handle a, quote, burrito with a broken tortilla situation? Ooh, that's a great question. So this is one
that's
of
That's heartbreaking. That's not a good
day. You got the burrito.
Bad
you take
situation.
A bite, and all of a sudden there's a hole in the side. It's like a boat that's taken on water. Your burrito is sinking. What do you do to save the ship?
Well, listen. If you're in a position to get another tortilla and fix it, you know, that's one thing you could do. You got to go double tortilla. But here's the problem, Trav. As you know, you just need one layer of burrito. Like, now what am I having? Just all tortilla, and I could barely taste the meat, so that's an issue. You might have to just kind of put it down and just kind of, you know, do some pieces here, because how else are you going to do it? I mean, maybe go upside down.
Yeah, well, it depends on what's going on. You can, if you're at home, you can turn it into a bowl situation, right? Like, when you get a blowout on the side, you drop it in a bowl, and now you have a burrito bowl with a tortilla.
Actually, more healthier.
No. Where's the hole? That's the question. Where's the hole?
Let's assume it's right in the side, right? You get one of those tears.
How high up?
Now the salsa and the meat and the bean, it's all falling halfway down. It's bad
news. You
know
what I'm doing? No, this is what I'm doing. I'm kind of tilting it now to the left, and I'm eating the burrito to where the hole is facing upward. Okay?
You're eating it like a corn on the cob?
Just here. No. Yeah. No. I'm trying to get to a position where at least it's only the upper half of the burrito that's the issue.
So, you might take the first bite, and you might get the hole.
That's too dangerous. I'm still starting from the top, but I'm saying I'm getting down to where I can make sure that the second half of my burrito is back to normal.
I want to give you guys $1 million idea, and anybody out there can steal this because it needs to happen. There needs to be some sort of like burrito tape where you can like take a piece of a tortilla and tear it off and patch the hole.
Edible burrito tape.
Right. That's what it needs to be. Oh, this is breaking news right
Just
here.
Just wrap it up with a burrito tape. Just wrap it up.
710 ESPN resident Englishman David Kent has just told me that my British accent is fantastic and I should keep doing it. So it says that was something something awful. We'll just leave it at that.
Don't listen.
And keep it moving.
We need to have Funch. We got to create something. It doesn't have to be every day. It doesn't have to be three times during the show. Maybe once a week, Trav can bring out an accent, a different accent, because this is kind of. I think we know what his capability is on the food side. I did not know that he has this wide array of different voices that he could bring out to the show.
Wait till I break out
a whole new career, voiceover actor.
All right, here's another one. This is from GFish21. Oh, I need a little back. I need to know if you have the back. You know the movie The Naked Gun, Slee?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So let's start with this. This is GFish21. In the movie The Naked Gun, the Angels play the Mariners at Dodger Stadium. Why? Hashtag Ask Slee.
Oh, that is good.
Very good question.
Why are they playing the it's the equivalent of Lakers and Lakers playing in Portland or
no,
something?
No, it couldn't be the Lakers because the Dodgers are the Lakers in this situation. You have to find two B teams. So mm-hmm. it would be the Chicago White Sox playing the Twins in Detroit. That's what it would be like.
I never noticed that.
Really?
It's been so long since I watched the movie.
Yeah.
Naked Gun, I mean, it's a classic, but it's just been so long since I've watched it.
Here's the problem, and this is a pet peeve of mine. I have, when it comes to sports movies, and I get that the Naked Gun is not a sports movie, I understand it, but if there's a scene, if you get a technical aspect of that wrong, it's going to jump out at me and the movie
really?
Is ruined. You can't, like, for instance, Bull Durham is a
and
great
movie. The movie is
movie.
Ruined.
It is. And I love Bull Durham, and it's a really good movie. And Kevin mm-hmm. Costner, what makes that movie work is that Kevin Costner can swing a bat. Kevin mm-hmm. Costner can throw a baseball. It looks right. And you're like, okay, this really feels like I'm watching a minor league baseball team. And then they show Tim Robbins throw like he just got dropped from another planet
That's
and never
point.
Seen a baseball in his life.
That's a good point. No, that there's something to that. Sometimes I'll see like basketball movies or whatever the case is. Or there's a scene of, you know, guys, let's say they're playing some basketball, whatever the scene of the movie is. I'm like, what the hell was that? Why are you guys – put the ball down, bro. No.
Yeah.
Matt run the
Damon
offense.
Swinging a golf club, for instance.
Run the offense.
Run the... All right, here's another one. This is from Max Power. It says, how does Slee firmly yet politely shut down a conversation with a chatty Uber driver? This is important. Go.
Bro, I'm not going to do good at this. It's going to be too rude for me. I'll probably just let the guy talk. I'm not going to shut him down. I can't shut him down. What am I going to say? What am I going to say to the guy?
Well, see, you don't have to say anything. And quite honestly, that's the move. You don't respond to him.
Do you pull out your phone, just stare at it, or something?
That's fine too. Or you
they'll
just
get kinda, the hints when it's silent.
You just kind of grunt some responses back. And now there are some guys that are just going to power right through that and keep talking anyway. Can I tell you my move to make?
Well, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Why do Uber drivers just like? There's so many conversations that come out of a drive, and in a sense it's like they're even their personal conversations. What's going on here?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not my cup
of
tea.
I'm just trying to get to Studio City. Like, what are we
just
doing
here? I just want to go somewhere, and I want to have a few drinks and not worry about driving back. Can you just please get me there, please? Here's the move. So you have to go on the offensive. This is what you do, and this is one of my favorite. My friends give me a hard time about this all the time. Get in the front seat. That throws them off like crazy.
That's a power move.
It is. It's
That's
great.
That's a power move.
Because I'm tall and mm-hmm. because I am a man of a certain carriage.
This is an alpha move. This is an alpha move right here.
Most back seats don't work for me, right? Unless it's a very big car, the back seat is not super. So I open the front door and start getting in and say, is this okay? And then I sit down. No one has ever said, no, it's not. And then once you're 6 inches from that guy, they really don't want to.
Second move. They
just want to get you out of the car as quickly as possible.
Second move, you go to their phone and turn off their Bluetooth. You go to your phone, turn on your Bluetooth. You make calls, personal calls on their speakers through their car. I like it, Trav. You're basically coming in saying, this is my car. This
Take
is
over.
My car for the next 11 minutes.
Power move. One more. This is from LSU Lala, and he writes, Slee gets invited to your place for brunch. What does he show up with? Hashtag ask Slee. What are you bringing to my brunch, Slee?
Brunch. Well, you're going to take care of the food, so I'm not going to worry about the food. I'm going to bring snacks, all right? I'll bring stuff like the I'll bring like the side stuff, okay?
Like what?
Whatever the side stuff is.
Come on.
I'll bring some donuts, something like that. Something
donuts.
Those
donuts
lines.
A brunch.
Yeah, that's
Well,
we're not on a 7 a.m. sales meeting call. We don't need donuts. We're having brunch. We're getting a little fancy.
Yeah, but you're going to do your thing, whatever you're doing. I'm going to bring you're going to turn down a donut?
Believe it or not, donuts are not high on the list of Travis Rogers must-haves. I'll eat one. Don't get me wrong. I'll eat one, but they're kind of in the middle of the road. I don't have to have it.
I'm gonna ask you, what do you need me to bring drinks-wise? Am I bringing some Bloody Marys? Am I bringing what is it that you want me to bring on that end?
No one has ever knocked on my front door and had a bottle of wine or something in their hand that didn't make me smile. That's just that is always the way. Hey, I just thought, you know, maybe we could get into something like this. Yeah, that sounds good. Let's put that right over there. We're going to get into that in just a couple of minutes. All right, there's the latest edition of Ask Slee. That was a good one, Slee. We got to Ubers. We got to brunches. We got a whole bunch of things going on. The Clippers have another round going on. If they win, what happens to them in this city? That's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.